that was a UFO beaming back at you. No, they've been coming here ever since 1946, and they have been living and working among us in vast quantities ever since. The government knows all about them. These leaders have decided to repress this information because of the tremendous shock that it would cause to our antiquated system.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
You're listening to Nick of Time, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal. Brought to you by Lineup Media Group.
Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. The air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do and there's no end to it.
The whole truth about JFK, 9/11, Area 51, the Illuminati, the moon landings, Jesus and Magdalene, the CIA, KGB, and AIDS, the reptilian elite, Watergate, the New World Order, Bilderberg, the MKUltra Project, the history of the world and the oppression of the human consciousness, and the truth about God, the devil, heaven, hell, and the delicate fabric of the universe.
You've got to say, I am as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Welcome to Nick of Time Podcast, a Lineup Media Group production, brought to you this week and every week by Audible.com. Go to audibletrial.com/Nick of Time to get a 30-day free trial and a free audiobook download. And if you're looking to do any shopping on Amazon, visit our website, nickoftimepodcast.com, and click the Amazon banner. Any purchases you make during your session will directly support our show. How's everybody doing this week?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Nick of Time.
How you doing? This is Eric.
This is Everett. So, what are we doing this week?
Well, we are going to do the faked moon landing.
The moon landing is now faked, huh?
Yep. Well, it always has been.
Always has been. Well, before we get to that, I kind of want to touch on some of the feedback I've been seeing in email and on Facebook.
All right. Good deal.
And by and large, it hasn't been great. Let me read us some of the notes here. Here's a note from a guy named Patrick Berry, one of our listeners. Hi, Patrick. He says, hello, I just wanted to let you know my thoughts on your podcast. I found you like 4 or 5 months ago, back when Nick was doing it. That was me saying that, not him. The podcast wasn't so bad. It wasn't my favorite, but you kept it interesting and kept my attention. I saw room to grow and improve, and I was looking forward to it. I don't know why you changed the format. It's terrible now. Ouch.
Yeah.
The shows are shorter and too fast-paced.
I wouldn't call it terrible.
Plus, the new guy sucks. I'm assuming this means me.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm also new, so.
Well, he goes on to say, it's nothing personal against him. I'm sure he is a cool guy. He just comes across as a douchebag on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's you.
It's got to be me.
Yep, that's you.
I will assume that you're going to keep the format for the show how it is. Yes, we are. And he says, he goes on to say, I can't listen to it anymore. We're sorry about that, Patrick. We should keep you as a listener.
Yeah. Sorry,
says, I'll
Pat.
Check back every few months just to see we're doing a show. And he goes on to say, I rarely ever send emails to provide feedback, maybe once or twice. He did it for the Higher Side chats and Expanded Perspectives, and most of those were positive. So he takes time.
Well, Patrick, thanks for sending us your feedback.
He finishes up with, sorry, man, I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything. I just want you to know that personally I think the change you made sucks, but I do wish you success. Thanks for reading this. So, I mean, he's pretty nice about it.
Thanks for the feedback.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to try to get better. I mean, yeah, our format's way different than what Nick did.
We're not going to ignore what Nick did.
Yeah, Nick was a good guy. I like Nick. It just isn't Nick anymore.
Yeah, we don't do it the way Nick did it. It's totally different, yeah.
So another guy, Luke Keish, asks, is Nick Drago not doing a show anymore because the new guys suck compared to Nick? Well, thank you for that. And he's not going to be doing Ultra Man Behind the 8-Bar anymore. No, directly I can answer that he's not doing that anymore. Nick and Lineup Media Group are no longer associated with each other, and we do wish Nick the best of luck.
Of course.
Another guy here, Jason Keller. Hi, I'm a fan of your podcast. That is until you featured the other guy, the Seth Rogen sound-alike who doesn't believe in anything.
Again, that's got to be you.
Yeah, they don't like me. Granted, the subjects you've covered since him have been fringe at best, but please ditch him. He sucks.
I wonder what he means by that, fringe at best, huh?
I don't know. I guess we're not doing hardcore enough conspiracies for Jason. Sorry, Jason. We'll see if we can't. Why don't you send us a suggestion?
Yeah, give us some suggestions, bud.
So, and then we got a. This is from. This is from Facebook. I'm not sure where I saw it here, but a guy named D. Lawless Hardware replying to a post from someone named Sherry Huxtable on our actual Facebook page. I'm kind of laughing at the situation because the new guys come on with shorter, way less detailed shows that pretty much seem like whitewashes of anything they discuss. They approach each subject with total disbelief. I got to disagree there.
I try to approach these subjects with an open mind and a, you know, total.
I try to come in semi-open-minded, but, you know, I've always been a logical kind of guy. I've been a man of science, so to speak. I like to believe in what I can see. Though I do really enjoy discussing conspiracies with you every week, Eric. And
yeah, I have fun.
So D. Lawless Hardware continues and goes on to say, they approach each subject with total disbelief. Lol, it's like a big troll or something. I actually just stopped listening. Damn, sorry, D. Lawless. We don't want to lose you as a listener. If you got any like constructive criticism, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, we are not trolling. We're actually trying to give these conspiracies the time of day.
All right, last but not least, I'm going to give a shout-out to Tina Ibarra, who says, I used to love to listen. I don't know what happened, but it's not good.
Wow, this week's feedback was all bad.
This is bad.
That's all right.
Nothing is taken seriously, and it sounds like you guys are sitting there having a chat. Well, Tina, we are just sitting here having a chat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's
This is how I learn about conspiracies. I mean, I'm kind of like the audience here. You know, I'm like the stand-in, the analog for the audience here. I'm listening to what Eric has to say, and he's teaching me and you guys at the same time what he knows and what he's researched.
Yeah.
And by no means, you're not trying to come off as an expert.
Not at all, no. I'm just learning just as much as everyone else
is. He's just a guy that's really into the stuff like you guys are.
It's more of a hobby to me than anything.
Yeah, you happen to have the ability to do this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. I actually always did this for fun. I watched the YouTube videos and articles and all these conspiracies for fun. So when Big E approached me to do this podcast, I totally said yeah, because, again, it's just a hobby for me. So... Yeah,
we don't want to come across as experts in this field.
At all. This is just something that we like to do.
It's fun. If you don't want to listen, well, I'm sorry. We want you to listen, but
All right, well, enough with that negativeness.
I want to finish up Tina's thing. She says, we're not informative in any way, and we mostly make fun. Please change it back with, like, 30 exclamation points.
Well, I mean, I do like to laugh.
And then she brings on and says, bring the other guy back. The new format sucks.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
I appreciate that.
So...
all right, well, this week we're going to cover the faked moon landing. I really wanted to do something on space. I've always been a guy that's...
I love space. Astronomy is a hobby of mine.
Yeah, I've always been real intrigued about it and in awe of this, you know, the vastness of our universe. And I'm not alone. Space has mystified some of the most greatest minds in history. So,
all of them. If it wasn't for space, most of our greatest guys wouldn't have, you know, come about. Just looking up at the stars and saying, I wonder what... This is all about.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, that's the great journey. That's the only great journey left.
The great journey, like in Halo.
Yeah, it's the only great journey left. So why not do a show about one of the greatest space conspiracies of all time, the fake moon landing? So
Go ahead.
It basically just starts out, you know, they are saying that the entire Apollo program was faked. That claims are that some of the elements of the Apollo program and the associated moon landings were hoaxes. Staged by NASA with the aid of other organizations. So the six-man moon landings from 69 to 72 were faked, and the 12 Apollo astronauts did not actually walk on the moon. That is the theory. So, you know, obviously there's all kinds of pictures and video and evidence of us going to the moon rocks, everything. So why do you think this came out as a conspiracy? Why do you think people think that we didn't go to the moon?
Well, the same reason they think that there was somebody on the grassy knoll and Kennedy was shot.
Oh, yeah?
They can't take stuff for face value.
All right, well, let's talk about why we went to the moon in the first place.
Let's hear some arguments on this.
Well, we went to the moon in the first place. It was part of the Great Space Race.
Yeah, against Russia. We got to prove that we're better.
Yes, we do.
And we were.
Oh, yes, we did. Well, not according to these conspiracy theorists, we didn't.
Oh, we didn't beat them there?
No.
Well, they beat us with Sputnik, so.
Well, the Soviet had the first orbiting satellite.
Sputnik, right.
And the first man in space, so, you
know. Yuri Gagarin, was it his name?
I believe that was it. So NASA and the American government devised a plan to fake the first mission to the moon. You know, we wanted to beat them. They were beating us at all the firsts that had to do with space, and we didn't like that. So we wanted to be the first on the moon. And, you know, the...
America.
Yeah, the theory is that the technology wasn't there, so why not fake it? You know, if we can't make it, fake it.
Well, I mean, it makes sense.
So that was basically the idea that we didn't actually go to the moon. That we
it's kind of a false flag type of thing. Here.
Yeah, kind of right. So that we recorded it in a studio in Hollywood. Some theories say
some big ass soundstage.
Yeah,
huh?
Some say Area 51. It was where it was recorded. But either way, all of these go back and say that it was a stage. That it was recorded on some sort of stage.
Hmm.
I'd say it'd be a very good stage. I've seen all the footage and everything, and it does look pretty legit.
MythBusters, I believe they were actually able to completely recreate it.
MythBusters did bust a couple of those stage myths wide open. You're right. But there's been plenty of third-party evidence of moon landings. You know, the Hubble telescope has taken pictures of the moon, and you can actually see some of the landing sites from the Hubble telescope. So
Didn't that bust it wide open?
Well, of course, no. They don't address those. They don't address that. See, the conspiracy theorists, they really like to only address the ones that, you know, you can't... you can't dispute.
Sure, like, well, this is all well and good, but this little piece of evidence here just doesn't stick out, or sticks out as something weird.
Right.
That's kind of the basis of most of the conspiracy people.
So one of the big things about this faked moon landing was that, and as our predecessor Nick touched on, he actually did a whole episode about it, was the alleged Stanley Kubrick involvement in the faked moon landing. He's a filmmaker, Stanley Kubrick. He's accused of having produced most of the footage for the Apollo 11 and Apollo 12 the Apollo 11 and the Apollo 12 missions, presumably because he had just directed 2001,
Space Odyssey,
yeah, which is partly set on the moon, and it featured advanced special effects, so that was kind of why the theory goes on to say that the government picked him because he had
this experience.
That was a big one with it was Stanley Kubrick. You know, a lot of people thought, you know, he's a big director and filmmaker, so why not get him to fake the moon landings? You know, if anybody's as good that can record this and make it look good, it would be him.
I wonder how they can convince him to never talk. Is my only.
I actually just saw a pretty good interview with him where he says that he did fake it. I saw a YouTube interview. So if you'd like, you can go up and look that up on YouTube. But yeah, so again, back to the space race. You know, it was with the Cold War and the Soviets. So we decided we deemed it vital that we had to win the space race against the Soviet Union. So going to the moon, you know. That was where it was at. It was going to be risky and expensive.
That's the best use of our tax dollars at this time.
Right. Well, even stated by Kennedy in a speech in 1962, he said, the United States chose to go to the moon because it was hard. So, you know, I mean, they knew. They weren't putting any, you know, they weren't blowing any smoke up anybody's ass. They knew this was going to be a hard mission and that they were going to have to work on it to get it to go. So, yeah, there's plenty of books, pop culture references, articles, television shows, movie references. I mean, this moon landing, ever since it's become popular, has been everywhere. I mean, there's literally references in TV shows, movie. I mean, it's everywhere. There's books, articles, magazines.
Well, quote someone. What do you got?
Okay, well...
You weren't ready for that, were you?
No, I was not ready for that. Nope, I sure wasn't.
I know you got some shit here for it.
Oh, yeah.
Hang with us, ladies and gentlemen. They're shuffling through papers to try to find...
Something that I found, I like to do lists. So, like, whenever I'm doing my research, I like to go on lists.
Sure, reason,
like, you know, like when I Google things,
top
I like
10
to...
reasons the moon landing was bullshit. Reason.
Yes, okay. So I came across a couple of them, the reasons the moon landings could be a hoax. A lot of people say that the infamous picture of the flag that Neil Armstrong placed on the moon in 1969, why is it waving if there's no wind in the vacuum? So that's one of the big ones.
Was it waving on the video or something, they say?
Well, in all the pictures, you can see that the flag is actually looks like it's waving in the wind.
There's no wind, so it's...
Well, that's exactly what the theory pertains to. There's no wind in the vacuum, so why would it be waving?
And I'm going to play the devil's advocate here. Let's think about it like using Newtonian physics. An object in motion will remain in motion. An object at rest will remain in rest. So as he's got that crumpled up, putting it on there, if there's nothing to keep it from being in that position, it wouldn't flatten out on its own. There's no big gravity pulling it down to make it taut.
Right, but you can again see it rippling. So, I mean, why would it ripple? You know what I mean?
We're going to need a vacuum chamber to figure this one out, folks.
NASA claimed the flag was stored in a thin tube and the ripple effect was caused by being unfurled before being planted. Other explanations involve the ripples caused by the reaction force of the astronauts touching the aluminum pole, which is shown to shake in some of the videos.
Effect, right.
Yeah, so I mean...
Wave of energy.
Yeah, so that, you know, they've got both sides kind of have a backup for that one, you know. They're saying that, you know, it was caused by the guy putting the pole in the ground. But so, you know, a couple other things are the lack of the impact crater. So when you go and look at some of the photos that NASA released.
See, hold on. Let's go back to this picture real quick. I would argue if this was done on a stage, there wouldn't be any wind.
Well, yeah, and so that's a good thing. So, like, why would there be wind if it was on a stage?
If there was a gravity, that would be pulled taut.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's what some of the inconsistencies in this.
So I'm going to call strike theory. One on the whole flag part of the theory. I mean, sorry, listeners, I don't see it. The flag seems to be plausible, as Adam and Jamie would say, calling the flag out. I'm calling it plausible. It looks like
calling plausible on the flag. I'm inclined to agree with you on that one. I don't think the flag was ever one of the strongest pieces of evidence.
Sure. Well, let's keep going. So. What else we got?
The impact crater, the lack of the impact crater. So the claim goes as follows. Had NASA really landed on the moon, there'd be a blast crater underneath the lunar module to mark where it landed at. Obviously, that makes sense, right? You know, lands down, there's sure, going to be some of sort dust. Of yeah, I mean, some sort of blast crater. But the photographs of the landings, there's no crater visible, almost as though the module
was... Now, that blows my mind. There should definitely be fucking, like, because there's the retro rockets that fires, it slows its descent.
Yeah, that would slow its descent down to the moon. So when you look at all these pictures, though, there are no craters visible. It's almost as simply as if the module was placed there. That goes back to the theory of it being on a stage.
I haven't seen the photos on this one, folks, but if that's true, that's damning.
What we do know is that the surface of the moon is covered in a fine lunar dust.
Yeah, it's like a silica.
Yeah, and it's very reflective dust, actually, hence why we can see the moon during the day, because it reflects the light.
You know, they said if you took the resolution of the sand and changed it to like 1 inch, each piece of it was like 1 inch and it was perfectly mirrored, you wouldn't even really be able to see the moon.
Really?
Because like right now, the way it diffuses the light, it does like a perfect reflection. But if you got all those like real perfect reflections, it's just going to be direct reflections of the light back to the angles it comes on. So it looked like a big ass disco ball, but you wouldn't really be able to see it unless you were in the right spot. Anyway.
Okay, well, so NASA has a dispute to that. They claim that the module required significantly less thrust in the low-gravity conditions than it would have done on Earth. The surface of
still, though.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I would say there would be some sort of blast crater from where it slowed itself down.
I gotta agree.
And some sort, I mean...
Even if there was no dust?
Where the feet of the module landed.
Yeah, I mean...
They would at least see some sort of, pushing out of the lunar dust, something. But in all of these pictures, they are not... You don't see anything like that.
And not just the landing, the takeoff. That's the crazier one.
Right, yeah, because they took off from the moon. So, you know, there should be some sort of thing there, right?
I mean, there's got to be a fair amount more thrust to get you taken off than slowing you down. Like, at least double, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would think.
So...
I mean, it's 1/6 of the Earth's gravity on the moon. 1/6.
Given.
Okay, so another one of the main points was there's no stars. So if you look in any of the pictures, the official NASA pictures from the moon of Earth or of the moon from Earth, you can't see any stars. There's no stars in the...
Well, again, let's play devil's advocate here. I can argue that, darkroom at the time, you're trying to expose it just to bring out the details of the moon surface and the astronaut themselves. So you wouldn't be trying to expose the background so much.
Right. There's no stars in a darkroom.
Well, that's not what I mean.
That's what I mean.
All I'm saying is if they're taking a picture here and they're developing, you know how that works. They put it in the chemicals,
yeah, yes.
And you wash the chemical over the pots. The longer you wash it on it, the more the details come out. So they're focusing on the moon. They're focusing on the astronaut when they're moving the shit. So I can see that they wouldn't be focusing on the black area of the photo trying to bring out the stars. And even if they did, it's not like it's going to be completely speckled like it's glitter, in the cosmos.
Yeah, I understand.
So I don't know. That's kind of a weak one in my opinion.
Okay. What about the sea rock? Have you heard anything about the sea rock?
No. You're showing me a picture here, ladies and gentlemen. It appears to be a picture of a not quite round rock with a letter C on it.
It's a rock that it shows up in multiple pictures, official NASA photos.
So are they saying this is a prop and they're using
that is a prop? That's what they're saying, that has a C on it. That there's a prop that was used to fake the moon landing.
Could be.
I mean, that would have to be it's a pretty pronounced
like a C.
It's a pretty pronounced C, I would think.
I mean,
feel free to look up this picture if you'd like yourself.
There's
guys,
a lot
you
of
can
weird
just type
shit
into
in
Google.
I mean, look at the pole, North Pole of Saturn with this weird hexagon shape. I mean, there's a lot of weird shapes.
I've always heard God doesn't build in straight lines. So
that's fair.
So another one that they're saying was how NASA adds all these crosshairs on their photos. They add these crosshairs after the fact. After the fact, well, that's basically basically as a grid.
What website?
As a grid.
Did you pull the source of stuff?
This is listiverse.com.
Listiverse, okay.
Listiverse.com. Yeah, so basically NASA puts these on all of their official photos. It's kind of like a grid, these crosshairs. So, but if they were done after the fact, why is it underlying the actual... the stuff that's there. So what we're looking at here, what we're looking at here is we're looking at the lunar...
The foreground is covering up, the items in the foreground are covering up the crosshair that NASA is supposedly overlaid on the image.
Exactly. So this crosshair supposedly overlaid, supposedly overlaid this crosshairs onto the image, but it is actually behind some of the lunar module or some of the equipment, actually. I'm not sure that that's the lunar module.
Yeah,
but
some of the
for being added after the fact, these crosshairs are definitely behind some of the equipment.
So what do they say? This is like something that's on the surface?
Well, so what the crosshairs are for, their ad was scaling in direction. They're imprinted over the top of all of the photographs. Like I said, NASA does that with all of their official images. The conspiracy theorists have suggested that NASA printed the man-made objects over a legitimate photograph of the moon to hoax the landings. Although if they really planned on doing this, why would they use the crosshairs in the first place is a mystery. So that one doesn't really add up either. Well,
here's what if I was doing something like that, I would think those would be used for scale. So if you take a picture, two different pictures, right, and you put that cross on there, then you'd have to scale the picture to where the cross on this picture is the same as the cross on the next picture, so you can kind of line them up.
Right.
Like registration and scale.
Well, wouldn't that help you? That kind of goes into the next one. You know, is there more than one sun? Because those shadows definitely don't match up. So this
you got it on the screen here. Show me what you're talking about.
Wow. Well, what I'm talking about is that NASA obviously, again, like I said, multiple thousands of videos and photos to support their moon landing. But as it became evident soon that something a bit fishy about these photos. The angle of the shadows don't match up. So shadows are obviously caused by light sources, and on the moon there should be only one light source. And what is that?
The sun.
The sun. So logically, all shadows should be parallel to each other.
Well, I mean,
right?
Depending on the you could get reflection from the Earth back to the moon.
Yeah, but only shadows in the photos of the moon landing are not. In fact, the shadows of the mini photos run in different directions. It's almost as if the shadows are caused by, yes, multiple lights on film set.
What if they, because they had a camera up there, what if there was a light on the camera?
What, you mean like a flash?
No, like a floodlight, like you would have on any normal stage. Like the same thing they're saying here. What precludes a light like that from being both either used on a soundstage or taken up in the lunar module?
Well, I mean, I guess you make a very valid point, but what I'm saying is so the one photograph where Neil Armstrong is stepping down off of the lunar module, he is in the shadow. Okay, so yeah, pull it up. Why don't you? I believe it's up or down a few.
It's your laptop.
It's where he's stepping off the lunar module.
Right.
And the entire thing, including him, is in a shadow. So, and if that's the case and there's only one light source, you should not be able to see him. You should not be able to see his body or his person in this photograph. You should just be able to see
I mean, the surface of the moon itself is diffusing light all around.
Well, and that's where NASA's coming with it. They're saying that the silica on the moon, the moon dust, has like an 8% reflectiveness to it. So that's why they're saying that you can actually see him on the stairs of the lunar module versus not being able to. And that's how they,
kind of weak.
Explain away their multiple light sources. But the one that I'm really, really smoking gun to me is the Van Allen radiation belt. Do you know anything about the Van Allen radiation belt?
Now, isn't that something supposedly between like 100 kilometers or 1,000 kilometers out or above the Earth? It's like just a radiation belt that's just too much for humans to pass through.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's a radiation
and
belt.
We're not able to shield?
Okay, right here is exactly what it is. In lower Earth orbit, it's the radiation belts are about 30% of the distance to the moon. So once you get out of lower Earth orbit, you're about 30% of the distance to the moon is when you start to enter the Van Allen radiation belts. And so let me tell you a little bit about them. NASA actually released a statement in 2014, and I'm going to read this to you, and this is a big smoking gun with the conspiracy theorists right here, of this statement that NASA released. According to, hang on one second, the only space, okay, here you go. The only space this can harm in guidance systems on, wait, okay. NASA is still seeking to develop technology to safeguard humans for spaceflight into radiation-laden space within and beyond the Van Allen radiation belts and the protection provided by our magnetosphere. Until that technology is available, our exploits into space will continue to be well below the beginning of radiation belts so intense. Van Allen called them a sea of deadly radiation. What we know from the effects of radiation on Earth teaches us is that the Apollo program was nothing more than a mere fantasy. According to the YouTube videos below, every spaceship, whether Russian or American, with humans aboard beginning in 1961 to the present, have all maintained altitudes of 1,000 miles well below the Van Allen radiation belts.
Where does the ISS sit?
I actually, off the top of my head, I don't exactly know how many miles up the ISS is, but this can harm
it's
the guidance.
Be below it.
I mean, this can harm the guidance systems, onboard computers, or other electronics. Naturally, we have to pass through this danger zone twice, once up and once on the way back.
Sure.
But Orion has protection, shielding it will be put to the test as the vehicle cuts through the waves of radiation. Sensors aboard will record radiation levels for scientists to study. We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space. That is an exact NASA quote. We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space.
We're going to do it anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, they didn't discover the Van Allen radiation belts until 58, so they knew they were there. You know, before the, you know, if we didn't send people to the moon until 69 and they discovered the Van Allen radiation belts in 58, why would we still go to the moon?
And this is going to piss people off, but isn't this how we got the Fantastic Four?
Right. Yeah, it would seem so. Cosmic radiation, yeah. Huh? But, when I read that for the first time and I saw that interview, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And we must solve these challenges before we send people through the Van Allen belts. We've already sent 10 to 15 people through that belt 40 to 45 years ago in the Apollo programs. And now in 2014, NASA's saying this deadly radiation problem has yet to be solved. So, yeah, you can see where the theorists come up with that. Yeah, and
if I was trying to bring evidence up, I'd jump all over something like that.
Yeah, that's a big one for those guys.
As the skeptic, I would be like, yeah, this guy's just some idiot at NASA who's talking out of turn.
Some more of the smoking gun evidence, according to, Wikipedia, would be that...
Wikipedia.
Yeah, the death of certain NASA personnel. They're listed deaths of up to 10 astronauts and 2 civilians related to the manned spaceflight programs as having possibly been killed as part of a cover-up. So how about Theodore Freeman? He was killed ejecting from a T-38, which suffered a bird strike in October 64. And it just goes on to...
So they're taking out people who might know?
Yeah, people that know. Of course, isn't that the way to do things?
That's what I would do.
If someone's going to expose your conspiracy, you got to take them out.
Take no chances.
Yeah, but so it goes on to list about, 10 or so employees from NASA and two or three civilians that have all been supposedly killed.
Hey, you did it.
To protect this cover-up.
You said supposedly.
Supposedly.
Hey, let's stop real quick. We also had some complaints from people I saw on Facebook. They're bitching about you.
Yeah.
And this is something I've
supposedly.
Something I've been telling him too. You got to stop saying supposedly. Okay. Supposedly. You sound like a jack-off.
I say supposedly because I don't want to sound like I am... wholeheartedly believing in everything.
Well, no,
so,
not
so when I say supposedly, it's like supposedly
it's,
this is
that's
the,
not the problem people have. It's the fact that you say suppose of yeah.
Oh,
with
my
a B.
Pronunciation.
Your pronunciation. Yeah, they don't care.
Okay,
that you say
so
supposedly.
I will work really hard on not
don't
saying
say supposedly.
Supposedly. Yeah. It's supposedly.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, anyway, sorry. So thank you, listener, for bringing that one up
yeah.
and supporting my cause.
But, yeah, the faked moon landings, man. I just want to talk about that a little bit. So what kind of implications does that have if we actually fake the moon landings? I mean, think about that.
First and foremost, somebody thought it was important enough of a race to win where we could faking it and getting caught. That is worth the risk.
Right. Well, so let's talk about it. So in 1969, it might have been plausible to fake a moon landing. But if you were going to try to do something on that scale today, it would be damn near impossible to do because of...
Too many whistleblowers.
Yeah, whistleblowers. And I read somewhere that I calculated it had to have been something like 400,000 people involved just to cover up this moon landing. So if it actually was faked and they were going to do it, they would have to have something like 400,000 people involved in this just to keep this secret.
I can see that.
That's so many.
I don't know. I don't know how they would say 400,000 because.
Well, that's everybody involved in every mission.
In the creation of it.
Yeah.
And that's
from cradle to grave, from its inception to
the
program.
We're so backwards here. I'm going for the thing. I'm saying. These people who created the lander, who created all the equipment, they probably created it to the specifications. They thought it was going to the moon.
Right, so they might not have known anything else about the program, just
exactly.
what they were supposed to be doing.
And then whenever the module was recovered, quote-unquote recovered, those people, whoever that group was, there wasn't even a group, so it's not like it just showed up. Yeah, we had another group do this. There was no actual group that put it there. The people who cleaned it were probably like, yeah, this is space dust. We don't know any better. We're just fucking taking samples of... I'm just saying, I could see that. They wouldn't take too many people.
Well, over the six moon missions, the astronauts brought back something
maybe
like,
once or twice you could fool it. It's hard to do over six.
Okay. Well, they brought back something like 868 pounds of moon rock, dust and rock. So
you
know
it's illegal to own that shit? Like they know where every bit of that stuff's supposed to be.
Really? I did
like,
not know
you
that.
Have it. And you
I wonder why you
have
can't
it.
Have it, because they don't want you running
well,
your own individual
no,
tests on it?
No, because it's stolen.
Oh, they don't want you running your own personal tests on it? Because then you might figure out?
It's mostly because it's stolen. If they didn't
stolen?
Yeah, they're not just giving it to people. It's
well, I mean, I would argue that they stole it from the moon in the first place. So.
They wouldn't grab it. It's like you go down to the river and take a rock off, and you're not stealing the rock from the river.
Well, I mean, that just depends. Did the river lay the claim to the rock?
No, the river's a fucking river. It doesn't claim to nothing. Just like the moon.
Just like the moon.
Just a goddamn rock.
Well, you know, nobody can lay claim to Antarctica. We've talked about that before. Which brings me to something else. I was in my research. They said that the flat Earth movement was something that postulated this, the fake moon landing. They were one of the first people to come out and say that they actually gave this steam. The flat Earth movement gave the moon landing conspiracy steam, because they're the ones that brought it out, saying, you know, hey, look, this is not you can't. The Earth's flat. How the fuck are these pictures going to be, you know?
Sure.
So they're the ones that came out
and said, does not support our theory, therefore
exactly.
It must be bullshit.
Exactly. And, oh, yeah, another thing. I mean, if you look at every picture taken from space of Earth, from outer space, they're all different, every one. And you can look, I mean, I'm talking
what do you
about,
mean different?
I mean, one picture of the Earth's brownish blue, and the other picture, it's bright blue. And this, you know, we're talking a 3-year difference
here. Difference between cameras, filters,
okay.
Time of year.
What about
the
same storms? You can look at a storm on one of these pictures. And I mean, this is all on Google,
well,
so I mean, anybody can look at
this.
Anybody
can
look at these things.
And the color's different between two pictures. Just because you slightly moved your camera and the lighting changed, your camera, you know, just exposed differently. I mean, I can see it on the moon. It's going to have some weird conditions that a camera's not used to.
Well, yeah, okay, maybe.
And then again, it's not digital photography. It's all done in the Lightroom. So the amount of exposing they had to do just to get this one detail of the photo they were looking for out might have overexposed the rest of the image and changed its color slightly. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you are saying that they did do this in
a
studio.
I'm saying it's possible.
Oh, okay, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. There's a little bit of plausibility to this. Not a lot, but a little. What do you think? You think that's a good stopping point for this week?
Yeah, I'd say this would be a good spot
yeah,
to
because
stop
we
for
need
the first
to,
part.
Yeah, we're really going to
hopefully
hammer
we're not
on it
whitewashing
week.
And making it too short here in the beginning.
I hope not. I hope not. But yeah. I feel like we presented some good evidence and a lot of information in this first part. So
yeah, I mean it's compelling for sure. Definitely compelling. All right, I guess we'll cut it. We'll cut it out here real quick. I'd like to remind everybody to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/NickOfTimeShow, or on Twitter at NickOfTimeShow. Also, please remember to subscribe. Get me every time with that. Please go to iTunes and subscribe, or Stitcher, or Podbean, or Google Podcast, or whatever your favorite platform is, and subscribe to us. That way you get our new show as soon as it's released every time, every week.
Yes, and please keep the constructive criticism coming, because we only want to
get... Even if it's bad,
we just want to get better. Yeah, hell, make fun of us. We don't care. It's all good.
Say something stingy, and we'll read it on the air. I don't
yeah,
care.
Yeah.
But don't be mean for the sake of being mean. We're trying here, folks. Yeah. We're interested just like you are.
Yep.
Anyway, until next time, this has been Nick of Time, a Division of Lineup Media Group.
This is Eric.
This is Everett. Take it easy.
All right, have a good week.
Please, wake up.
This has been Nick of Time, a Lineup Media Group production. Access all our podcasts now at lineupmediagroup.com.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who the hell are you people?
I'm mad as hell! I'm not gonna take it anymore!
I'm mad as hell and I'm not gonna take it anymore!
I'm not gonna take it anymore!